Yemen is in the midst of a humanitarian disaster. Millions of people have been driven from their homes and now faced widespread famine and an outbreak of cholera. It's the result of ongoing civil war between the government of President Abdurrabu Mansour Hadi and a coalition of convenience, two groups, once enemies, now working together. That's the Shia rebel group, the Houthis, and the General People's Congress, or GPC, which is led by Ali Abdullah Saleh, the country's former president who was ousted in 2011. Since 2015, Saudi Arabia has been conducting airstrikes on behalf of the Hadi government. Matthew Tuller is the American ambassador to Yemen. The U.S. closed its embassy in the country's capital of Sana'a in 2015, citing safety concerns. So he joins us today from his office in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And Ambassador Tuller, the GPC, aligned with the Houthi rebels, is demonstrating today in Sana'a. Can you tell us a little bit more about these demonstrations?
Yes. Of course, that alliance has always been quite unnatural, even for the rather complex politics of Yemen. Recently, it's apparent that there are tensions between the two groups, and the demonstrations today in Sana'a were clearly an effort by former President Saleh to demonstrate that he's still relevant to the political process within Sana'a, and a demonstration to the Houthis that although they may have the military powers, he still has the ability to mobilize large groups of people in support of him and the GPC.
So let's back up here for a moment, because, of course, Iran has been backing Saleh and the Houthis. Saudi Arabia backing the government that they drove out. I mean, this is still an active military conflict. Is there a chance that either side can win militarily?
I believe very strongly that there really is no potential for either side to be able to deliver a decisive military victory over the other, that both sides, because of their ability to hold in their respective strongholds within the country, aren't going to be able to drive the other out. So as long as those factions with Yemen are continuing to engage in what has become a violent struggle for power, there really isn't any prospect of that ending until we can have a political reconciliation.
Hmm. Meanwhile, there's this humanitarian catastrophe that's going on in Yemen. Millions of people displaced, famine, cholera. Can you give us a detailed sense of what life is like for civilians in Yemen today?
Well, unfortunately, of course, particularly in those areas that are currently under Houthi control, much of what existed in terms of safety net and ability to deliver salaries, social support, medical education programs to Yemenis in those areas has deteriorated. In addition, many households have swelled because of people coming into the city from outlying areas where there are shortages of food or essential medical supplies. And so households really are suffering. Hmm. You mentioned the cholera epidemic, of course, and that's also a result of the destruction of the state institutions that prior to this conflict would have been able to ensure clean water, water treatment plants, and the things that are breaking down in Yemen right now.
I mean, so I take your point about the failure of state institutions here to stave off this humanitarian disaster, but certainly Saudi bombing of Yemeni infrastructure is also contributing, if not outright causing, the acceleration of things like the cholera outbreak and the lack of food.
The air campaign certainly has been a contributing factor, but of course also a great contributing factor has been the intense fighting on the ground between these warring factions of Yemenis who are struggling for dominance over traditional enemies. And unfortunately, as often happens in these cases, those actually fighting on the ground begin to have a stake in continuing the conflict.
Right.
There's a war economy, and certain militias, emerging warlords and others, all in fact are doing quite well. And we are seeking ways in which we can exert greater leverage over those who are actually fighting on the ground, because this is what's really leading to the conditions that are contributing to the humanitarian disaster.
So, Ambassador, let me ask you about the limits of U.S. leverage here, because, of course, the Saudis are bombing Yemen with weapons purchased from the United States. And in addition, President Trump recently announced this deal to sell Saudi Arabia $110 billion more worth of U.S. weaponry. And you well know that there are many people who are critical of this. I mean, for example, Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, recently wrote in the Huffington Post that he thinks Yemen is on the brink of famine in part because the Saudis have intentionally destroyed transit hubs and key bridges. And he goes on to write, as we speak, millions of Yemenis are being radicalized against the country they blame for the civilian deaths, which is the United States. Do you agree with that in any way? Is there a limit to how much leverage the U.S. can exercise when, you know, in the eyes of folks like Senator Murphy, he believes so many Yemenis see the United States as being firmly on one side of this conflict?
So now the Saudi intervention obviously was primarily intended on the part of Saudi Arabia to defend Saudi Arabia's own vital national interest. They have a legitimate concern about the security of their border. Now for the United States, I would say that in our ability to assist Saudi Arabia in defending its own border, its own interest, that does give us leverage. And we've used that leverage, for example, since the beginning of the air campaign to try to increase the professionalism of how they conduct an air campaign in selecting targets, to ensuring that they err very much on the side of caution in avoiding any civilian casualties or damage to civilian infrastructure. One point of the comments that you read from Senator Murphy that I would agree with, of course, is that in any situation where there is an outsider conducting a war on behalf of one side in a civil conflict, that it's going to create hatreds. So Saudi Arabia also needs to be taking steps to demonstrate to the Yemeni people that Saudi Arabia has no enmity towards the Yemenis. I would say that the largest, after the United States, contributor to humanitarian appeals for Yemen has been Saudi Arabia. And that is not assistance that's limited only to areas in the south or outside the control of the Houthis or Ali Abdullah Saleh.
Ambassador Tueller, to be perfectly honest, it's hard to feel optimistic about the situation in Yemen. And I've heard you say a couple of times that there's hope to transition towards some kind of political reconciliation. Do you feel at all optimistic? Because right now it seems as if Yemen's on the brink of turning into another Syria or Afghanistan in terms of long-term disastrous conflict.
Well, there certainly are scenarios that I can see that would lead Yemen into sort of a semi-permanent failed state status. That would certainly exacerbate the growth of extremist groups such as al-Qaeda within Yemen that could threaten us and our interest in the region. So we are looking for a political solution to this. And on that score, I actually am optimistic. Yemen has a history since its the overthrow in 1962 of approximately, I would say, 17 civil wars during that period. In all of those instances, after those conflicts, Yemenis were able to come back together and reconcile and start working together. So I'm also optimistic because as I see and talk with all the Yemenis, I sense that there are many there who are capable of and looking to present to the country third ways of bringing together individuals, political parties, representatives who can offer themselves as a mechanism for reconciliation.
Finally, Ambassador, about U.S. diplomatic efforts in this conflict, is the State Department overall limited in how effective it can be? Because Secretary of State Rex Tillerson right now only has one deputy. There are 24 top spots in the State Department that haven't yet been filled. I mean, when the time comes for diplomatic efforts to be pushed into a higher gear, are you concerned that the State Department just will be hobbled in its ability to do so?
It is true that we're going to go in a period of transition that, in my experience with transitions, is a little slower to fill key positions in the State Department than transitions I've experienced in the past. It is correct, I think, that when we reach certain stages of a reconciliation effort, that my abilities as ambassador will be enhanced greatly if I'm able to involve senior officials from Washington. Right now, however, I feel that I've got very, very strong support from Washington, not only from the Department of State, but from the Department of Defense, which understandably has quite a bit of interest at stake in Yemen, from the National Security Council, from USAID, from the Treasury Department, from others in the U.S. government who all want to see the problems in Yemen resolved. So I don't feel at the moment that there's anything that we have available to U.S. efforts that I'm lacking. But I do look forward to being able to see senior positions in the State Department filled as we reach stages that I hope we'll be approaching quickly.
Well, Matthew Tueller is the U.S. ambassador to Yemen, speaking to us from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Ambassador Tueller, thank you so very much.
Thank you.